This is In My Opinion with your host, Ray Dosky.
That's right. It's another edition of In My Opinion. I'm your host, Ray Dosky, here at Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR 95.9 here in Nashville. And thank you so much for joining me today. So much to cover. So much going on. So much news going on in the NFL. Today, I'm going to be joined by a special guest. If you guys have never heard of Ari Mevroff, I don't know what to tell you. This guy is like the Ari Gold of when it comes to NFL updates. He's going to join me here in a few minutes here to talk about everything that's going on with all the new coaching hires, you know, the Tom Brady, Rodgers. Are they just going to retire, or do they come back? Ben Roethlisberger officially announced his retirement today. Also, we're going to get a little bit about talking about, that's right, there's two big games going on this weekend, the NFC and AFC championship games. We're about 2 weeks, 3 weeks away until the Super Bowl. And so there's so much to cover. And I just can't wait to really jump into this because, you know, it's crazy how this whole coaching situation has started. It was like, at one point, it was like two coaching opportunities, and then it was three openings, and then five, then seven. Now we're at nine, with the latest being Sean Payton, who decided to resign yesterday from the New Orleans Saints. Good for him. The guy's been there for almost 16 years with the one team. You could tell that he was burnt out. You could tell that he was burnt out from coaching and all that. Like, he just needed a break. You could tell he missed a little bit of a Drew Brees. It looks like he just needs to go away. Just go golf, whatever. But he said he will coach. When? We don't know. Maybe next year, maybe in 2 years, what have you. Whenever he decides to come back to coaching, there'll be a long line in front of his door of owners saying, like, come coach my team. And we all know who's going to be the first one, right? It's going to be Jerry Jones. I know that Mike McCarthy is taking all the heat, and I feel bad for him because if you look at how his resume that's taxed up against Sean Payton's resume, I mean, they both won a Super Bowl. But the difference is that it seems that Sean Payton he could just literally coach up a quarterback like nobody's business. What's crazy is that during that time when Sean Payton was going to interview, when he became a candidate in 2006, he went up to Wisconsin, interviewed for the Green Bay Packers job, came back yesterday with his press conference, that is, talking about how, when I got back from Wisconsin and I was expecting a phone call, and, you know, when I got the phone call, I thought for sure that it was going to be, you know, oh, yeah, well, we decided, you know, we're going to offer you a job. Nope, wasn't that. They decided to go with another candidate. You knew that candidate was? That's right, Mike McCarthy. So it's going to be interesting to see. Jerry Jones is probably, who knows, probably going to tell, you know, if he's probably already had talks with Sean Payton, like, look, you go do what you need to do. Go stay on the sidelines. Go golf. Go do whatever you need to do. Take the time off. You want to go into the media and talk, whatever. Go hang out with your boy Drew Brees, who's also now in the media market, and see what happens, and we'll go from there. But let me go ahead and see if I could see Ari Mevroff to talk a little bit more about this. Well, without further ado, I'm going to bring my boy, Ari Mevroff. I'm hoping I'm pronouncing his name right. And like I said earlier in the podcast, if you've not been able to check this guy, you can find him at My Sports Update on Twitter. You can find him on Instagram at My Sports Update. This guy knows, I mean, he literally is my go-to guy when it comes to anything sports update. He's my Ari Gold. So let me go and bring on. Ari, what's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, Ray? I appreciate you bringing me on. Obviously, a very busy time right now around the NFL.
It certainly is, man. It totally is. Do you know what's crazy? When I reached out to you, I've been following you for some time, whatever, because I always go to you for my sports updates, whether it be Twitter, Instagram, what have you, for all my updates. You and my son share the same name. I also call him Ari as well. His name is Ari Dosky, that is. That's my last name. And when I saw that, when I was telling my people, like, oh, your son has the same name. I'm like, yeah. So I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. That, you know. So, dude, you're like my Ari Gold, man. You're my Ari Gold when it comes to notes. You ever watch Entourage? You ever seen Entourage?
I have not, which is crazy. But listen, Ari is a very special name, and you should tell your son that he has a very special name.
Oh, I definitely tell him that every day, man. So look, I want to say this, but let me begin by saying thank you for so much for taking the time to join me. I mean, look, we could talk about what's going on in the NFL. There's been a lot of news because if you see, like, especially we'll start with the coaching, you know, hires, what have you. If you look at how the coaching started up, it seemed like it was moving at a glacier pace right now. You know, like you had one opening, then three openings, and five. Then Sean Payton announced, you know that he decided he wanted to step away from football just a couple of days ago from the New Orleans Saints. Now you have nine openings. And then what happens this morning? It's like a domino effect. Mm-hmm. The Bears found their coach. I don't know the
the Denver Broncos found their coach. And then chances are that maybe the Jaguars might get Lefty, bring him back home to Jacksonville. But it looks like just recently New York Saints decided to go and put in a waiver to say we can go ahead and, you know, if possible, to interview him. But, you know, let's talk about the first one that came out this morning with Nathaniel Hackett. 3 years with Green Bay, now the Denver Broncos head coach. Now,
yeah, you
know.
Sorry.
No. So you basically were saying, like, you know, that Denver was like, well, we hired him, but we didn't hire him with the premise that we're going to bring Aaron Rodgers here.
Yeah, you know, I would agree with that. Like, I think Aaron Rodgers is definitely in the back of everybody's mind, but the Broncos and their GM, George Payton, who's one of the brightest GMs out there, mm-hmm. they hired Hackett because he emerged as the best candidate for them. I mean, his energy, his offense, what he brings to the table, obviously what he's been doing in Green Bay. And yeah, he didn't call plays in Green Bay, but, you know, the reality is Matt LaFleur, before he got to Green Bay, he didn't call plays for the Rams. He called plays 1 year for Tennessee, and if you remember when he got hired, it wasn't, like, the greatest offense, right? So, like, it's not the end of the world, but, you know, Aaron Rodgers last year, when Nathaniel Hackett got a request from the Atlanta Falcons, Rodgers actually went out of his way to reach out to the Falcons and vouch for Hackett, which I think tells you a lot about him and what he does and his offense. And he's a very, I mean, we'll see his press conference. I believe it's scheduled for tomorrow, but he's a very interesting guy, very high energy type of a guy who relates to players. And I think that's the one thing that obviously hit home for George Payton. Now, when it comes to Aaron Rodgers, you know, George Payton, the way he set up that team right now, they have a first round pick. They have 2 second-round picks. They have 2 third-round picks thanks to the Von Miller trade. And all their weapons have been basically locked up for the future with Courtland Sutton, Tim Patrick, Jerry Jeudy, K.J. Hamler. Those are rookie deals and guys who got extensions. You have Noah Fant. You have Javonte Williams, who's a young emerging running back. They have basically everything on that roster that you need. An offensive line, which is above average. Garrett Bowles, a great left tackle. They've set up a situation where if Aaron Rodgers wants to leave, they have the best opportunity to get him based off all the circumstances they have there. And I think people really don't talk about this much, but Aaron Rodgers, his fiance, actually has a home in Denver. So, like, Everything is, like, lining up perfectly over there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, his relationship with Brian Gutekunst this year, and he's mentioned this a million times already over the last 2 weeks, it's gotten better. And obviously the season ended in a way they didn't want it to, but listen, I mean, like, it's gotten better, and they do have a plan to try to bring all the notable players back. Davante Adams is a free agent. They could franchise tag him or try to work out an extension. He's going to be back, most likely, right? So all his guys are likely to be back. They might have to move on from some people, maybe one of the Smith brothers. Randall Cobb at his current salary probably won't be back, but they'll be able to bring back everyone, and, you know, they'll probably promote Luke Getsy to offensive coordinator, another guy who Rodgers respects. And let's try running back. Also, the divisions. I mean, AFC West, stacked. NFC North, we've seen what it is. So, like, there are going to be some decisions, but Rodgers isn't going to stretch this out like last year and have a decision. I would hope by the combine, which is the beginning of March, but he said before free agency, and then away we go. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, he definitely said that before the free agency starts, he's either going to be traded, retired, or he's going to come back to the Packers. And you spoke about, like, the salary cap issues at the Packers. I think they're over $40 million over the cap. And if you look at what's coming back next year, you're going to see, like, Davante Adams, he's going to be an unrestricted free agent. If they decide they want to go ahead and franchise tag him, it looks like the minimum is going to be about $20.1 million minimum at least. If you look at the other, I think if A-Rod does come back, he's looking at a $46 million cap. If they decide to cut him or trade him, they could save him about $19 million, which is definitely needed because you have Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith also have these big contracts going into 2022 with Za'Darius at 27 and, of course, Preston Smith at 19.7. But Rex Ryan said something really interesting yesterday where he said that if he decides to go to Denver, he'll be the third best quarterback in that division. And I can't argue with that. Because if you look at how, like you just said, the AFC West is stacked, where you got Herbert and you got Mahomes, you know, going to his fourth, you know, AFC championship at the age of 27. I mean, that's just unworldly. And then you look at what's going on in the NFC North, where Detroit's rebuilding, Chicago, we're going to talk about them in a few minutes, but they just got their new head coach. And then you look at the Minnesota Vikings, who also is now still, you know, in search of a new, possibly not only a coach, but maybe even a quarterback.
Yeah. No, you're totally right, but I think the only counter argument to it, and you're right, the division, the way they stack up, I mean, the Raiders made the playoffs, you even mentioned them, mm-hmm. but, like, I think the only argument is that Tom Brady left the AFC East, which, yeah, they had Josh Allen there, but Miami and the Jets were still not so great. He went to the NFC South, which at the time, Drew Brees was there. The Saints were, you know, the best team in the division. They were one of the best teams in the NFC. I mean, Matt Ryan, the Panthers, a lot of people thought at the time that Matt Rule was building something special there. So, like, it's not really comparable compared to Herbert, Mahomes, and all that. But Tom Brady went to the NFC, which, you know, many people thought was a tougher conference as well, and he won a Super Bowl there. You know what I mean? So, like, maybe it's another challenge, but also just, hey, I don't want to be in Green Bay anymore. I'd rather start fresh somewhere else. You guys have Jordan Love here. You guys picked him for a reason. Why don't you guys start somewhere else? Let me try to win somewhere else. You know, like, yeah. It's not the craziest thing for him to go out there and try to win elsewhere. And again, Tom Brady went to the NFC and he won a Super Bowl as a wild card team. So you don't have to win the division.
Right. And we've seen
what Aaron Rodgers done. Like, I mean, do you feel like he's kind of capped what he could do possibly in Green Bay?
I mean, you've had back-to-back years. And I spoke about it earlier on my other podcast where I said that, you know, when you look at what Mike McCarthy was when he was with Green Bay and then, like, you know, one Super Bowl and a couple division titles, a couple playoff appearances. But, you know, Green Bay fans were like, oh, you just wasted a lot of A-Rod's years. And what happened? He ultimately got fired and then he landed up with Dallas, you know, several seasons later. Then you bring in Matt LaFleur, who I was a big fan because if there's anything about you should know about me, I'm a huge Washington fan. And it pains me to see three of the four teams that were in the playoffs, they came from that Washington pipeline. And they, you know, they didn't stick with Washington. But you brought in Matt LaFleur, comes in, back-to-back division titles. You're going to have maybe Aaron Rodgers arguably going to be back-to-back MVPs here, and he still gets exited out of the division rounds. Do you think that he's kind of capped out in Green Bay?
No, I really don't think he's capped out. I think, really, this whole idea of him saying, hey, let me take time here until free agency, I think he really wants to get a mapped out plan of what their offseason is going to be here. Who are you guys bringing back? I mean, like, again, the fact that the Gruden-Kiss and Mercer relationship got better is a very, very big deal. The fact that they went into the season and they tried to add more players. I mean, you saw them add Whitney Merciless and you saw them do what he said of Randall Cobb, and they added Jalen Smith, which didn't work out. They were in the Odell sweepstakes. Like, the fact that they're listening to him, I think that definitely goes a long way. But the fact that they are $40 million over the cap, but there are many ways to maneuver around it. He just wants to know exactly, what are you guys going to do here? What are you guys going to do with all those players? How are you guys going to get under the cap? What are you going to do in free agency? What's the plan here? And if the plan is something that he agrees with, I could see a scenario where he's back. Because really, besides for the way it ended this year, everything really went well in Green Bay this year, whether it was the playing or just the relationships, or just, you saw the smile on his face. I mean, you saw every single week how happy he was. Besides for, like, the COVID thing, which also, you know, popped up during the year, like, he was himself and he was doing his thing, and he's likely going to be back-to-back MVP once again this year. So I do see a scenario where he could just be back there. But I think he just wants to know exactly, hey, what is the plan here this offseason for us to stay competitive and get back to where we were? And if they have a plan that he thinks makes sense, then I could just see him saying, hey, I'll give it one more ride over here. And if he does that, then his contract is set to expire after this year. So he could be back in the same situation the year after.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what happens in Green Bay, because I know that they took a chance on Jordan Love in the first round. It looks like it didn't pan out. Many thought that was a reach there, and we all know that the organization, especially head coaching, wants Aaron Rodgers back. Now it's ultimately up to Aaron Rodgers to decide if he does want to come back, and if they can, you know, if they can continue like that more or less like that relationship, how it will really progress into the positive sector towards the end of the season if it continues on. So it'll be interesting to see what happens come, like, you know, closer to free agency. But let's stay in the NFC North here. The Chicago Bears went in and hired the Indianapolis Colts defensive coordinator Matt Eberflus, which I'm kind of surprised about, because you would think that they would go and get an offensive-minded head coach to kind of develop Justin Fields because of his struggles last year. Were you a bit surprised by that hiring?
I wouldn't say I was surprised, especially when their two finalists basically came down to Dan Quinn and Eberflus, two defensive guys.
Right.
The offensive coordinator hire is going to be obviously major here, but Eberflus is a guy who's been around the game for a while, since 1992, I believe. Got into the NFL in 2009. Obviously, was in college up until then. Colts players love him. I mean, if you listen to Darius Leonard, the way he talks about him, talks very highly about the person as a leader, which, again, is something that they were looking for. And then, probably more importantly, I mean, Bill Polian was one of the main people inside that Bears search, and with Eberflus coming from Indianapolis, maybe there's a connection there. But their new GM, Ryan Poles, who's another 36-year-old, worked his way up the ladder in Kansas City, was there with three different GMs, and each time he still went up the ladder, which is a rare thing to have. Usually when new GMs come in, they want to hire their own people, but for him to stick around and keep on moving up just shows how impressive the guy is. It sounds like he was the one who made the final decision on this hire. And, you know, again, it's really going to come down now, what are you going to do with offensive coordinator? Because, yeah, Justin Fields is the priority there. But their search guys who were there, again, with Bill Polian and George McCaskey, they weren't looking offense defense. They were looking for the guy who could lead this team. And they believe that Matt Eberflus is that guy. And one of the main traits that Eberflus does have is that he is a leader. And I think it's kind of, you know, people kind of forget this also, but Eberflus went to the Colts. And he actually went there with Josh McDaniels, if you remember. Josh McDaniels hired him to be a defensive coordinator. And then, of course, McDaniels backed out. Frank Reich decided to hold on to Eberflus, even though he had no idea who this guy was. And look at him now, after 3 years being there. Now he did such a good job that he got a head coaching position. So I think it's a lot about him that, you know, he ended up on the staff that he didn't know anybody. And he still, you know, succeeded in a way where he's now in this position.
Yeah, we've got Ari Menroff here from My Sports Update. You can also, he's with PFF. You can find him on Twitter at My Sports Update as well on Instagram. Let me ask you this, Ari. We're seeing probably Byron Leftwich left. He's going to go back home to Jacksonville. It looks like it's almost certain. He looks like he's going to bring Adrian Wilson as his GM. That looks like they're going to pair there as well. But when you look at the coaching staff, you just talked about Josh McDaniels. He looks like he was kind of like out there, but it seems like his, like, I don't know what happened, but like, he wasn't getting as many coaches. It's kind of like his value just started to diminish a little bit. Is there like anyone that's really like on a hot like street right now, a coach that a lot of these teams are really interested in going after? Is there a name that like Brian Flores or Dabble, you know, is there someone that you're hearing out there?
Let me first off with Jacksonville. Adrian Wilson and Byron Leftwich is not anything official yet.
Yeah.
Still work to be done. I'm not totally sure. Whatever, there's a very big miscommunication inside that Jaguars building what to do with the general manager. There are a bunch of coaches who they requested to get who basically want to bring their own guy. They don't want to turn Bakke to be their GM. Simply put, the fan base has already turned on him, as you guys probably saw in Week 18. And if he's your general manager and he ends up getting fired after a year or something, and they have to bring in a new general manager, who knows who they're going to hire. Maybe the guy doesn't like you. Whatever, a whole mess there. So they're still trying to navigate what's going to happen. Leftwich does sound like the favorite for head coach, but a lot of things to figure out. The Saints put in a request for him. That could be a leverage play by Leftwich, but we'll see what happens there. As for the hot name right now, it sounds like it's Brian Daboll in Buffalo.
Okay.
Yeah, so the Giants, obviously they hired Joe Shane as their general manager, and he obviously has a Buffalo connection to Daboll, and Daboll has interviewed twice. They're still trying to finalize all their entire search, but he appears to be the favorite there for the Giants. However, a team like the Miami Dolphins, we really haven't heard much about them. They're also lurking there. They have interest in Daboll, who was actually in Miami once upon a time, and he's another name over there to watch as well. And, of course, the Bears looked into him a little bit. We'll see if a team like the Saints or the Raiders look into him. They haven't put that many requests in yet, but they're getting started there. The Texans are pretty quiet as well. They haven't requested him yet. They have a few guys that they are very interested in, but Daboll is definitely the name that a lot of people are intrigued by. Obviously, we know what he did of Josh Allen getting there. And he, of course, was with Belichick and was with Saban, and people are like, hey, that tree doesn't usually work in the NFL. But he's kind of different because he actually went away from Belichick and Saban and then started his own thing and, of course, ended up in Buffalo without those guys. And look how much he has succeeded. So I think that's something that really intrigued many teams that, yeah, he has the knowledge from Belichick and Saban, But he's shown what he can do without them, and obviously he's been a huge success where he's been so far.
Yeah, yeah, I've been hearing a lot of Brian Daboll. He apparently with the Miami Dolphins. Apparently the ownership has talked to some of the every candidate, tell them that they want to keep their defensive coaching staff intact because they like what they're doing there. And it looks like there's some history between Josh Boyer, defensive coordinator for Miami Dolphins, as well as with Brian Daboll. So that'd be interesting to see. I mean, like we said, it was like a snail's pace with his coaching hires, and you're like, you know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, or 2 weeks or so from like the Super Bowl. And of course, you know, if you're an organization, especially nine teams that are looking for head coaching positions before this morning, you want to wrap those up with the GMs and stuff, because now you want to start doing evaluations because you got the draft coming up, free agency, what have you. So it makes a lot of sense. But I am surprised by Houston. Do you feel like Houston's going to fall in the same situation they did last year, where they're going to get a coach so late? Because it seems like you said, it's been so quiet in Houston.
Yeah, it's been pretty quiet. And, you know, they've interviewed, I believe it's Flores, Hines Ward, Josh McCown, Kevin O'Connell, Jonathan Gannon, and Joe Lombardi, I believe, are all the guys they've interviewed. So, Nick Casario is taking his time. There is a belief that they really do like Josh McCown, but there is a worry about the backlash that could come because of it. Because, of course, it's a guy who's never really had any coaching experience at all in the NFL, but I do believe he's a very bright mind. I know they tried to bring him in last year to be a possible quarterback's coach or something on the staff, and he said he'll prefer to be a high school coach over a position coach. So they interviewed him again. They're fascinated by him. I'm not saying he's going to be the hire, but I think he's definitely a name to watch. Other name to keep an eye there is Jonathan Gannon, the Eagles defensive coordinator. There actually is a bit of a connection there to Nick Casario. It's a bit complicated to explain, but it goes through Josh McDaniels, and he apparently blew them away in their interview. But Nick Casario is someone who likes to be very cognizant of all the situations, go through everything, and then eventually make a decision. So while he's also one of the people who really does a pretty good job of not letting stuff leak out of the building. So that's why we really haven't heard much of what's going on there. So they might take some more time. They're not in a hurry. Obviously, people who are interviewing there are a bit intrigued about what's going on with the organization. Obviously, there's Watson, there's Easterby, there's ownership, all these different things. Mm-hmm. But Nick Casario is widely respected, and whatever he ends up doing, I think they're going to get a candidate who other teams would have been interested in as well, unlike last year where they hired David Culley, who nobody else really looked into.
I'm really surprised about the Minnesota Vikings. I know they just got their GM just 2 days ago or what have you. They just solidified that position. But, like, in terms of, like, because there's a lot of question marks with the Vikings. If you look at their head coaching, not only their head coaching, what are they going to do with Kirk Cousins? And I've watched Kirk Cousins from afar. I mean, I was a Washington fan. I saw him for 3 years when he was backing up RG3 and all that. And we knew that, you know, he excelled in that Kyle Shanahan offense. The play action was his offense. And he comes into this Minnesota Vikings team fully loaded with Cook, and you've got Thielen. And then years later, they draft Jefferson. They've got all the makings to make a lot of noise, not only in the NFC North, but also in, you know, the playoffs, possibly even a Super Bowl run. Do you see that, you know, do you see Kirk Cousins coming back to the Minnesota Vikings?
Yeah, I mean, I think this entire offseason is going to be a fascinating quarterback carousel, probably even busier than what it was last year. And definitely the Vikings are a team that will at least look into a possibility of moving their quarterback. But I really do find it a little bit hard to see it happening. I think there's a better chance of him getting extended than actually moving on from him, because, again, he has a $45 million cap hit. And they have a new GM coming in, a guy who's very analytically based. And, you know, Andrew Berry in Cleveland is someone who also took the salary cap very seriously, doesn't want to have much dead money. I don't see him going in that direction. But, again, they're going to have a new regime in there. They have a new GM. They're going to hire a new head coach. And it's going to be up to them to figure it out. But, you know, I do believe a lot of people are out there bashing Kirk Cousins. I really don't think he's like one of those quarterbacks who isn't, you know, he's not below average. I think he's an above average quarterback.
Sure.
He's not one of the top guys.
Right.
But he could get the job done, especially when he has the weapons around him, and that team has the weapons. You know, they have Dalvin Cook, they have Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, Irv Smith is going to come back next year. His biggest issue has been that he's had almost a new offensive coordinator every year in Minnesota, and it keeps on changing. Some consistency would definitely help. But besides that, we'll see what they end up doing. But, you know, they still have to make a couple of hires here. But it's definitely a team to keep an eye on. There are a handful of teams we're going to keep an eye on their quarterback situation. But considering how Kirk has just set up his contracts every single year, where basically he gets to a point where he can get franchise tagged, basically, and the cap hit is pretty large at the end. The team is basically stuck of basically we're going to move on from him and take on a big hit or extend the guy and keep on kicking the can down the road. So we'll see what they end up doing.
All right. So let's play a little fill in the blank. In 2022, the starting quarterback for Tampa Bay Buccaneers will be?
I think Tom Brady comes
really?
Back.
Really? You're one of the few that's actually told me that.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's kind of in a similar position as Rodgers, where he's like, let me know what your plan is here for this offseason. Because last year, they kept everybody. They won the Super Bowl, brought everybody back. I think this year it's going to be a little bit more complicated to do that with their situation. And Bruce Arians admitted that. So I think he kind of wants to know, hey, what's the plan here for us next year? And again, he's kind of said this on his own, but whenever he does retire, it's not going to be because of his body. It's going to be because, you know, my family, I want to do some other stuff. It's not because of, you know, me physically. I'm good. I can play until I'm 50, right? But, you know, I think he wants to see what are you guys going to do here this offseason? Let's see what the plan is and if we could try to do this again. I do think his wife, Giselle, is definitely playing a big role in all this. Sure. But I do know that Tom, for years, has said he wants to play until age 45. So it will take one more year to get to that milestone, and I think he'll do it one more time. And I think, you know, I know Tom said he doesn't want to have one of those farewell tours, but I think it would be hard for the greatest player ever in the history of this game to leave the way he's explaining it right now. I think it would be pretty cool to come back one more year, and at least everyone has an idea that this is most likely it.
Yeah, and it's great, and I agree with that because he still plays at a high. He's still playing at a high level, and you look at how, like, we're going to talk about Ben Roethlisberger here in a few seconds here, but Ben Roethlisberger had his farewell tour. Drew Brees, I'm done. Like, he basically said, like, I can't play at a high level. Tom Brady, on the other hand, is still playing at a high level. He still is effective. I mean, he probably number one in passing yards, efficiency, was complete. I mean, he was godly, over 5,000 yards passing, 40-something touch. I mean, the guy was just, I mean, the multiple career, the careers that this guy had, like the multiple, like in decades, it's like, it just seems like he just gets better with age. But what was interesting is on his podcast is something he said, and it's like he's never said this before, where he said, I'm satisfied with my career. And I'm like, wow, you've never said this. So I'm thinking to myself, is this really it? Is Tom Brady about to walk away from something that he loves so much? So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see about what happens with Tom Brady.
Yeah, well, I mean, he could have been satisfied with his career 5 years ago.
Right, exactly. He's the ultimate competitor, exactly. So fill in this blank. The Pittsburgh Steelers starting quarterback will be?
That's a tough one, and I've been going forth on this one. I really, you know, a lot of people have been connecting Kenny Pickett, Malik Willis, all these young quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just look at that roster, I'm like, there are too many veterans there for them to go into the younger direction. I feel like they have to go to a veteran. I don't think it's a Wilson, Watson, or Rodgers type of a guy, but I don't know whether it's like a Garoppolo or one of those type of guys, Mariota, one of those people who been there, done that, could join this veteran team and try to lead them back to the playoffs. Right. I don't see that type of a team where you have Cam Hayward, T.J. Watt, Minka Fitzpatrick, Joe Hayden, who's a free agent, but all these veteran players, and then let's bring in a rookie quarterback to try to lead us. So I think they try to look into the veteran market. And then, you know, this might sound crazy, but I know there are people in that building who really like Mason Rudolph. And I don't think he's the guy. I do think he's going to be an option, at least, for next year. And if they go in the young direction with the draft, I think we could see a scenario where he's starting and then eventually they'll hand it off. So that's definitely one of the most intriguing places out there. I mean, Pittsburgh, so much consistency over the years, whether it's coaching or personnel or the quarterback position. I mean, they have a big decision to make.
Yeah, I've got a couple more questions for you, Ari, before I had to let you go, because I know you've got a full day of stuff coming on. Who knows what's coming? You got to get back to, you know, giving updates to like people like myself here and as well as all the NFL fans that's out there. Let's talk a little bit of the NFC AFC Championship games coming up this weekend. Let's start with first the 49ers going against the Rams. We all know that the 49ers have owned the Rams. Jimmy G is 6-0 against the Rams. And we've heard the criticism that Jimmy G has had over the playoffs. Like, I mean, he's thrown a pick in the last two games. Could have possibly, you know, they could have lost the game against the Cowboys. They could have lost the game. And there should have been three picks in that Packers game. Do you feel like the criticism that Jimmy G is getting is unwarranted right now?
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of like a Kirk Cousins, where it's like the guy, all he does is win. I mean, like, he keeps on winning when he's healthy, and he keeps on getting hate for some reason. And I know he's not perfect. I know he's not one of the top guys, but, like, you look around that building, you look around that roster, George Kittle, Kyle Juszczyk, Deebo Samuel, there's not a single soul in that locker room who is anti-Jimmy. They all love Jimmy. Like, Jimmy is one of their guys. He's a leader. He does everything that they ask him to do. And, yeah, Kyle Shanahan tries to control him a little bit and tries not to throw the ball too much with him. But at the end of the day, I mean, he's been able to get the job done. And, yeah, they have a loaded roster, and, yeah, they have a great coaching staff. But he's been a guy who's been able to hold the torch down and be able to do what they ask him to do. So I don't think the criticism – I think the criticism is too heavy. I understand some of it. But at the end of the day, this is a guy who keeps on winning when he's healthy. I mean – this is now his second time in the NFC title game. They came really close to winning a Super Bowl with him. We'll see what happens on Sunday. But this is a guy who, I don't know if he'll be back next year, but regardless, he's a guy who's going to be sought out based off the fact that he's a very likable guy, the fact that all his offensive players really enjoy playing with him, and the fact that he's been able to win. So I think he's definitely someone who gets way too much criticism than what he deserves.
Yeah, and we've had this argument here in Nashville because we saw the Tennessee Titans. Many expected, especially in the Nashville area, for them to go to the Super Bowl. They had the time. They had the momentum. Derrick Henry was coming back. They were fully healthy. They had the bye. And then what do? They let the goose egg. They looked flat against the Cincinnati Bengals last week. And there's been this argument, especially here where I co-host on the afternoon stretch with Bruno and Zach, where Zach was saying, like, oh, I would take Jimmy G over Ryan Tannehill. I'm like, he's not better. I wouldn't take him. I don't. Do you agree with that? Would you go? Who would you take? Would you take a Jimmy G? Or Ryan Tannehill? Because Jimmy G, I mean, I know he's won, but I feel like as a team, that 49ers team has won, as opposed to Jimmy G, where, like, you could just tell the 49ers, I don't think they're comfortable with him at quarterback at times.
Yeah, I think they're both in a similar situation where they have to have a good supporting cast, right, in order to do their thing, right? I mean, whether it's the players around them, which San Francisco and Tennessee both have tremendous weapons, the coaching staff, Kyle Shanahan one side, Arthur Smith was there previous year and was tremendous with Ryan. They switched to Todd Downing this year, and it still held up in a way. It wasn't as great as Arthur Smith, but it held up. You know, I think they're both in that type of a situation where they're getting paid a lot of money, but they're the type of quarterbacks who you need to have a good supporting cast around them in order for them to truly succeed and reach their true potential. And, you know, I've been saying this kind of to people, and we've done a couple of shows at PFF. If you're a team and you don't have the top-tier quarterbacks in the NFL right now, it's hard for you to go into the offseason and not at least look around to try to improve, whether it's a guy like Tua or Daniel Jones or Ryan Tannehill or Kirk Cousins or Jimmy Garoppolo. Well, the 49ers have Trey Lance there, but you get my point. If you don't have one of the top-tier guys, it's very hard to compete right now in the NFL. Look who's left. I mean, it's Burrow, it's Mahomes. I mean, Stafford, there was Rodgers, there was Brady. Of course, like, Garoppolo was able to win. Again, there's a really good supporting cast there. So, like, I think it's very important. If you don't have a top-tier quarterback and you don't have that supporting cast and coaching staff, you have the right to go out this offseason and at least look around, check in on Russell Wilson, check in on Rodgers and Watson and all those other people around the NFL and try to at least look to improve at that position. Because when you look around the NFL, especially if you're an AFC team right now and you're looking up at Lamar and Herbert and Mahomes and Burrow and Josh Allen, I mean, that's just a torture in order to get past them. So, yeah, you should be looking around if you have those quarterbacks who are middle tier right now.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about the AFC game before I let you go here. We got the Bengals Chiefs. And you see Joe Burrow. It looks like nothing rattles this guy in the playoffs. The guy's mentally tough. I mean, like, the guy is just, I just incredibly focused. It seems like this team has this moxie, like this arrogance. But it's like, it's not an arrogance. Maybe it's more or less like that, just, you know, that confidence. But it's not like the ones you don't like. It's actually you do like, because you see it with him and Jamar Chase. It seems like these guys have major chips on their shoulders where they want to be like, look, stop. Joe Burrow said it. We're tired of being the underdog. They beat the Chiefs earlier in the month. How do you see this game going down?
Yeah, I'm really excited for this game. I mean, these are two teams that could definitely meet up again in future years. I mean, this could be another type of a rivalry, just like Bills and Chiefs are starting to become a thing. I mean, Joe Burrow is there to stay. I mean, that team is – there's so many young guys on that team, and I've heard people say they don't know what they're supposed to know. I mean, they're just there and they're trying to do their thing. I mean, like, the thing is, like, Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase have been on the biggest stages already. I mean, we saw what they did at LSU. They've been around these crazy, raucous crowds, which they're going to be in on Sunday. They've done that at the SEC of LSU, right? So it's not like it's new to them, quote unquote, but this is a team who just goes in there. They don't care about the situation. There's going to be 50 million people probably watching, probably more on CBS, and they don't care.
Yep.
And it's been a fun story. And, you know, everyone talks about the offense, but I think you should give credit to the defense as well there. I mean, what they've done, and Duke Tobin is their de facto GM. He's an executive there. They don't really have an official GM guy. I mean, their owner, but he's the guy who's making their decisions over there. And they've been very aggressive in free agency over these last couple of years, especially on the defensive side. And they've virtually hit on everybody. I mean, DJ Reader, Trey Hendrickson, Von Bell, Chidobe Awuzie, Mike Hilton. Those guys are all major contributors on defense. And Larry Ogunjobi has a Lisfranc injury out for the postseason, but he was a big part as well, another free agent. They went out and spent big-time money on the defensive side. And a lot of people tell you, don't do that. It's not the way to build a team. You should build through the draft. Right. They've virtually hit on everybody on the defensive side. And that defense has kept them in games as well. And it's been incredible to see what they've done on that side as well.
Absolutely. Hendrickson has been one of the biggest finds for them. I mean, in terms of free agency. Yeah. I mean, the guy's been such an impact player. I mean, I can't really. Last question. Give me your picks.
I
got to ask you.
Okay, so I'll be honest with you guys. I'm not a big opinion person. If you follow me on Twitter, I rarely put out opinions. I'm more into the facts and just let's see how things play out. But I'll give you my initial thoughts. This thing could change during the week. But I'm going to go with Rams-Chiefs. I picked Chiefs-Packers before the season, so I'm sticking with the Chiefs because of that. Yeah. And then I just get this feeling that, you know, McVay has lost to Shanahan 6 straight times. He's heard that stat 8 billion times already.
He's due for a loss, right, Shanahan?
I don't know if it's called due for a loss, but I think McVay is out there and needs to get that revenge, because if he doesn't win this game, he's going to hear the stat 7 straight losses to Shanahan, and it's going to haunt him. So absolutely. I'm going to go with that as my pick here.
Yeah, that's kind of who I want to go for, because we saw him just, a few years ago when it was that score 54-51, what have you. And I know that a lot of NFL fans are hoping for that same kind of game, because if you look what happened in the divisional playoff games, it's kind of hard to compete with that, right? I mean, you went from the toughest games to the best fourth quarter game to the best 3-minute game / overtime. I mean, you name it. I mean, it was just like you had a lot of these fans, especially in that Bills Chiefs game, where their fans, I hope they were around people who knew CPR, because you know their heart was racing, you know, because it was just crazy. But Ari, thank you so much for joining me today, man. I really appreciate it. You're welcome anytime. Hopefully I'd like to get you back on in the future. We could talk about the NFL draft stuff, because I know you do cover some NFL draft stuff. But in the meantime, you know, like I said, where can people find you other than the plugs I plugged in for you?
Yeah, so on Twitter and Instagram, as you've mentioned, at MySportsUpdate, follow there, get all your NFL news in one spot. A great resource to go check things out. Turn on notifications as well so you don't miss anything. And then the Ari Mero of the NFL show, which we launched about a month ago on YouTube. Mm-hmm. We've had some great guests. Thomas Dimitroff, former Falcons GM, was on this week.
Yeah, I saw that.
I'll break some news here. We're having Rick Spielman, the former Vikings GM, on next week. Fantastic. And you guys can go check that out on YouTube, Ari Mero of the NFL show.
Ari, once again, thank you so much, man. It was a pleasure. I had a lot of fun talking, and you're welcome anytime. Let's catch up soon, man.
I appreciate it, Ray.
All right, buddy. All right. That's Ari Mirvov with My Sports Update with PFF. The guy knows his stuff, man. I mean, like, the guy, when he comes up with sports updates, this guy is Ari Gold in a nutshell. Like, it's just crazy how he's, you know, comes up with the information stuff. And I was able to catch his NFL, little contact show here on YouTube. And I did see the Thomas Dimitroff interview. And it was a really good one, you know, about the future for him and stuff like that. They talked a lot of great stuff. Check it out. Like I said, if you don't follow him on Twitter, on Instagram, at, you know, My Sports Update, give him a follow, what have you. You know, you could find all the updates you need, what have you. But he did make some interesting points about, you know, what's going on in the draft. I mean, with the championship games this year. Because I'm really interested to see how the Chiefs and actually, both games, like he said, Sean McVay, 0-6 against the 49ers. And Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan know one another very well during their time with Washington. They were on the same coaching staff, same offensive coaching staff with Washington. And I was hoping that they would bring some, you know, keep one of those guys as their head coach. All under Jay Gruden. Never happened. They decided to go up, and they've seen immediate success. We saw Kyle Shanahan have success. He went to the Super Bowl with the Falcons a couple years ago. And then we saw with Sean McVay, with the Rams, going to Super Bowl not too after that. So these two coaches know one another. And you got to ask yourself, like, who's the pressure more on? Is it Sean McVay or is it Kyle Shanahan? And you can't really put one on the other. You could say that, you know, on the one side for Sean McVay, that, you know what, the pressure is on him because he is 0-6 going against his old buddy Kyle Shanahan. You got Odell Beckham Jr. You've packaged your future. You trade off these players for Matthew Stafford. You went all in. This is your year to go all in, and we'll see what happens. And on the flip side, you look at Kyle Shanahan. He lost his defensive coordinator Roberts a lot last year. Got DeMarco Ryans there doing a stand-up job. But I just don't think Jimmy G is the answer. I don't think Jimmy G is the answer. Many believe that he's won games, whatever, but I don't see him winning games. I didn't. He almost fumbled the Cowboys game, and he almost did the same thing with the Packers just a week later. He just threw three interceptions, not just one. Because the Green Bay Packers were up in that game, in the fourth quarter, with a little over 4 minutes left. And what happens? Their 32-ranked special teams came in full effect, and they lost the game for them. And Mr. Momentum went from the Green Bay side straight over to San Francisco side. And maybe we'd tell you, like, oh, you talk to players. Oh, I just need my quarterback to make 5 or 6 good passes and don't mess up the game. Great. But the way this team is built with the 49ers, they're just like, they've got talent everywhere. They got great coaching. Like, I mean, they're a juggernaut. Deebo Samuel is a beast. He's a beast. You got Bosa in the end on the defensive side, leader of the defense. He's a beast. Their running attack is built to play in any element, no matter what it is, hot, cold, rain, snow, what, I don't care. There could be a tornado. They can play and beat you anywhere, anytime because of just how they are, the makeup of that team is. And if you look at the Rams, they're a lot like that. You got Cam Akers, who just came back, who's looking like the Cam Akers of old. This is the guy they drafted. Cam Akers looks like he's going to be in heavy load, very explosive. I mean, he's going to solidify that running back position for the Rams. He's going to be Matthew Stafford's best friend. And Odell Beckham Jr. Now you've got several weeks. You're about 6 weeks, 7 weeks in. You know the offense. Now you've got plays. And he's shown he's had 6, 7 touchdowns. He's been effective and had an impact in the playoffs. And that game's going to be really interesting. So I'm really interested to see what this chess match happens between Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay, because these two coaches know one another very well. So be excited to see. And like I say, when I say he's due for a loss, and I mean, we all know that records come to an end, right? Streaks all come to an end. What is Kyle Shanahan going to beat him every time he plays him? No, eventually that streak is going to end, and maybe it's going to happen this week, and I'm hoping that it is, because I would like to see the Rams win. I think that Rams will win. On the other side, you look at this Kansas City team going against the Cincinnati Bengals, and who day? Joe Burrow, like I said, this guy looks like he's supernatural. Like, he's not impacted by anything. And you look at the Kansas City side, that looked like the tale of two halves when this team, when the first half of the season, you know, you see Patrick Mahomes being indecisive. He didn't look confident, throwing interceptions, the defense playing sluggish. And then the second half of the year, they decided, oh, we're going to just turn on the switch. Now they're clicking on all cylinders, Hill, Kelsey. I mean, granted, the secondary for the Kansas City Chiefs have some concerns. And they're going to have their work cut out for them coming up against this week with Ja'Marr Chase, Boyd, and Higgins and company coming into town. And we all saw with Kansas City, they lost a shootout to Cincinnati Bengals just a couple weeks ago. And here they're about to play once again. But this time, they're not going to be in Cincinnati. They're going to be in Kansas City. So it should be interesting what happens with Joe Burrow and that team, how Joe Cool, if he's going to be Joe Cool. Because he looks like nothing rattles him. Nothing. The guy's made of, like, just ice-cold veins. Like, he just doesn't, like, he's good. But then you got to look at the coaching staff. Youth versus experience. And that's going to be, you know, a coaching staff that's been through a Super Bowl. Both, you know, defensive coach and Andy Reid and that staff. They've seen the elements. They've been there. And you can't take anything away from what Buffalo, because many have picked Buffalo to win last week. You know, you ask, well, what else Josh Allen do? Oh, he could have picked heads, whatever, on the coin flip in overtime. Well, shut up. Okay? Josh Allen did everything he possibly can to win that game last week. They were just gassed. 25 points in less than 3 minutes was scored between the two teams. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens. But yeah, I mean, like I said, you can find Ari Medvedev on Instagram.
at My Sports Update. You can also find him on Twitter on My Sports Update. You can also find myself, Ray Dosky, on Twitter at Ray Dosky, WNSR. You can also find me on Instagram at nfl.junkie.junkie, where we do all kinds of starts, sits, what have you. And, you know, we're gonna go more into my picks and stuff like that probably tomorrow, what have you, because I'm going to have Pat and the General back in, you know, to talk about the games coming up this weekend. You know, it should be a Phil Festive game. I kind of threw myself out there about like who I want to win. But, you know, it's only a matter of time to see what happens here, and, you know, we'll go from there. But I'm Ray Dosky, and this wraps up In My Opinion. I'll talk to you next time. Take care.